And we're back on Veterans Radio on this day before Mother's Day of 2009. And we're talking about women in the military. And joining us back on the air right now is Amy Goodpastor Strebe. I'll throw the whole name out there for you. Flying for her country, the American and Soviet women military pilots of World War II. And Amy, let's talk a little bit about your book. And Christine Cook is in the studio with us, and she'll be more than welcome to jump in if you have anything that you want to ask. And we'll just go forward with this. Amy, tell me a little bit about why you wrote this.
Well, Flying for Country was actually my master's thesis when I was in graduate school. And I had come across the subject of both the WASP of World War II here in the U.S. and then also the Soviet airwomen. And there's never been any kind of study that really brought the two groups of women pilots together. And I thought that would be really interesting. And originally when I started the project, I wasn't sure if I was comparing, you know, apples with oranges and, you know, the only thing that they would have in common would be the fact that they're women. But the more I researched and the more I did interviews and really got into the subject, I realized that despite their differences in aerial operations and missions during the war, obviously political ideologies, they had a tremendous amount in common. And it was just really interesting to kind of see and obviously we were allies during the war, fighting kind of for the same cause. And it was just really, really fascinating to, the more I read and the more women that I met, both here and in Russia, it was just the stories that they have to tell are just amazing. And unfortunately, not many people know about their accomplishments. And the more that I get out there and I tell people about what they've done, the first thing I always get from people is like, oh, I had no idea that women flew during the war. And so I guess it's kind of like my job to educate people and let them know about these incredible women.
Well, it's a great story and it's a great read, and it certainly is well researched. That's for sure. And tell us about Jackie Cochran. She's the one that kind of got the whole thing going, wasn't she?
She was. In fact, I don't think it probably would have happened if it wasn't for her, because she had a very forceful personality and obviously an incredible aviator. In her own right, of course, she went on to be the first woman to break the sound barrier in 1953. And she basically, with anything, Eleanor Roosevelt was a big supporter of women. And she contacted her at the outbreak of war in 1941 after Pearl Harbor and said, I've got this arsenal of these great women who are pilots, very accomplished. And there's no reason why, we can't use women to help fight this war, because the men were overseas flying in combat, and that left a lot of the fairing jobs of basically taking the aircraft from the factories to the air bases throughout the United States, and that was a really big job. And she said, women are more than capable of doing this, and she proved that was correct.
And the interesting thing I think for our audience to become aware of is that there were a lot more women flying than we could imagine, I think. Thousands and thousands of them, though. But how early they got involved in flying.
Right. And in fact, the 1930s is kind of considered the golden age of aviation. So, you had Lindbergh and, these incredible pilots that were, and Amelia Earhart, of course, who was actually good friends with Jacqueline Cochran. And there was a lot of the whole possibilities of air flight, and of course in the whole aviation was such an important aspect of World War II. It started in World War I, but it really developed, and the whole air power was really developed during the Second World War. And it was something that it was definitely possible. And the WASP were different because they had to already be pilots, already had a certain number of flight hours before they were accepted into the WASP program, whereas the male pilots didn't have to already be pilots when they were accepted into training. So there was a lot higher, requirements for the WASP than there were the male pilots who flew during the war.
You mentioned in the book about the wide cross-section of the population that were included in the WASP. Could you kind of go through those just briefly? I found it really interesting.
Yeah, there was. Everything. You have the kind of the debutantes, the the wealthy women who were able to, maybe their father was successful businessman or something, and they're able to afford to have a plane or access to a plane, and they would fly. There was also women who just, you know, the civil, they had, there was a lot of opportunities, actually, you know, more, I think, I don't even know if there'd be more than there is today, but there was incredible in the 1930s, there in the early 40s, there was a lot of, there, you know, women could learn how to fly in their high schools or in a college setting. So there was a lot of opportunity for women to become pilots. A lot of them, they said, a lot of WASPs told me later on, you know, they lived near airports and maybe in small towns, and they became, you know, they saw the planes flying, and or they went up one time with, you know, with someone and said, oh, that was it. You know, I just, I found my calling. Mm-hmm. So there was, you know, a lot, the one things that, the two, you know, there's several things that the, both the Soviet and the American women pilots had in common, but one of the things, besides, I think, patriotism and the love of country was also just that they had such a interest and passion for flying. And if you could use that to help your country, I mean, it's time of need, and that was, you know, obviously that was, you know, just this wonderful thing to be able to do.
Well, and even Jackie Cochran, I believe, started because she was a cosmetics salesperson.
That's
she had her
right.
own cosmetics
right.
company,
was.
So she started so that she could sell her cosmetics.
Exactly, which is a really incredible story. You know, here's somebody who just, she basically learned how to fly just as a better, as a way to mm-hmm. get to these places faster, you know, than traveling by car. But here she, you know, my goodness, she became like, you know, the most accomplished, you know, women pilot in our nation's history. So.
And she was a test pilot, wasn't she, for some of the new planes that were coming on?
Yeah, she did. She did pretty much, you know, the thing with women pilots, they pretty much took every opportunity that they had to fly. And unfortunately, after the war, when they were deactivated, before the end of the war, the WASPs actually were just kind of disbanded before the end of the war, which was really sad. But they, you know, they tried to keep flying. They tried to go... you know, either with the airlines or a lot of them, they couldn't fly, obviously, in the military anymore. But a lot of them were, the only jobs that they would be accepted for was stewardesses, you know, flight attendant type jobs, and, you know, which was pretty degrading after they've been flying
E-51s,
kind of
a step
bombers.
Down.
Yeah.
A little step down there. You know,
yeah.
We talk about, you know, the American women pilots and, you know, that their jobs were to ferry aircraft back and forth. Talk a little bit about the Soviet pilots, because they were in the thick of it.
They were, and there really wasn't any difference in terms of aerial operations and missions for the Soviet airwomen as the Soviet men in the Air Force. They, Marina Raskova, who was a very accomplished pilot in the 1930s, she actually, I think, was the first recipient of the Hero of the Soviet Union Medal, first woman to receive it, I believe, during the war. And she started basically three regiments, the fighter regiment, the dive bomber, and the day bomber regiment, and they were basically the one group of the pilots called Night Witches, which were the night bomber pilots, and they flew the PO2s, which were like a light biplane, basically from World War One, and they were called Night Witches because they would fly at night and basically bomb the Germans' the camps. And airfields, and were quite feared, actually, by the Germans. But these women were just absolutely incredible, and I had it was really an honor to meet. I was in Moscow 2 years ago. I was invited to a women's Russian women pilots international conference, and I was able to meet Nadezhda Popova, who I talk about quite a bit in my book, and she was just amazing. I mean, just incredible amount of combat sorties, hero of the Soviet Union. Just an amazing woman, but these three regiments, only the night bombers, the 46th Guards Regiment were exclusively female. The other two incorporated men in their regiments, but they flew basically the same kind of missions that the men did, and they were just it was just amazing the amount of combat that they saw, and there really wasn't any difference between the men.
Go ahead.
Isn't it ironic, though, that men are fighting aces and women are witches?
Yeah, I know. I know, exactly. And it was funny because I think the women, though, the 46, they actually kind of took that name as a badge of honor, you know, because actually that name was given to them by the Germans. It came from the German word Nachthexen. So the Germans actually named them that. So I think they kind of thought that was a, you know, kind of a cool thing, actually.
I think what's also interesting is that many of the Soviet pilots were flying. The planes that the witches were flying, they were made out of wood.
These are
things that we only, you know, we make models of.
They could be set on fire very easily, and they didn't fly with parachutes either.
No, because they didn't want the extra weight.
Exactly.
Which was, it's just a fascinating story. And I'm talking with Amy Strebe here, who's the author of Flying for Her Country. It's a book that I would recommend to anybody out there, and especially to the women out there who want to be pilots. These are your people that set the goal and that set the bar really high for you. I think it's a fascinating story. But there was also a Soviet pilot, and I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but she downed a German ace pilot.
Oh yeah, that would be Lilia Litvak, who is actually still considered the world's most accomplished fighter pilot, and she was a double ace, and she was just this amazing, amazing person. She was very beautiful, petite, blonde pilot. I mean, you wouldn't, you know, looking at her, I guess you wouldn't think that she would be this just incredible fighter pilot. Very feminine. I guess she used to decorate her fighter aircraft with flowers that you find in the fields, and she would make, there was even, I've heard that she would make scarves out of, like, parachute material, and it was very kind of romantic, but she was just, when she got up in the air, I mean, you just better watch out, and she did. She shot down one recipient of the Iron Cross, a German fighter pilot, and when they got into the, he was captured on the ground, and asked to see the pilot who shot him down, and when she came to see him, he just almost laughed. He's just like, "There's no way, she didn't shoot me down."
We got to take a real quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Calling all World War II military personnel, you elite members of Michigan's greatest generation are invited to be a part of a historical group photo on the tarmac of the Yankee Air Museum. Hi, I'm Keith Famey, executive producer of Visualist Entertainment Productions, and I want to announce a very special photo opportunity and introduce our documentary, Detroit, Our Greatest Generation. On Wednesday, May 27th, a gathering of World War II veterans will be photographed as a group at the Yankee Air Museum located in Ypsilanti, Michigan. With a B-17 bomber as the backdrop, World War II veterans will gather for one more mission, one more campaign. But first, in order to participate, World War II veterans must mail in an RSVP form. For all the info, go to DetroitGreatestGeneration.com. Click on the special link calling all World War II military personnel, sailors, soldiers, airmen. Do this now. That's an order.